Now, something that Christy didn't mention that I'll mention now is that, as shocking as it may seem, when I was in high school, I did not intend to grow up to be a city attorney. Back then, my interest was history, and I thought I'd get a PhD and teach at the college level, and I also wanted to be a writer. Well, I'm obviously not teaching at the college level, but I have just finished my ninth book, or the ninth one that'll be published, and all but two of them are historical in nature. Therefore, I need to inflict upon you, under the theory that in order to understand how we got here, we got to know where we came from, a historical lesson about rights of way. The good news is I'm not going to go back to the beginning of time. I'm only going to go back as far as 1493. Now, prior to 1493, the good Lord apparently had not given much thought to who should own and manage rights of way in Texas. But that year, speaking through Alexander VI, the Pope, she ruled that all the lands in the New World belonged to the kings of Leon and Castile, the kings of Spain. So thereafter, they began doling out grants of land to individuals, but they retained the common lands, the lands needed by everyone, as well as the common waters, and those became public property. Well, that was all well and good, and we moved through the Mexico independence from Spain in 1821, and we moved through Texas independence from Mexico in 1835, and we got up to January 20th, 1840, when the Congress of Texas, in its infinite wisdom, decided that the civil law of Spain was no longer the law of the land, it was the common law of England. Well, that was a pretty significant change, and it has played out as a significant change in water law. As far as rights of way, not so much, because even though the framework of the law was quite a bit different under England and Spain, it still had the same basic idea that you got kings and nobles in charge, and rights of way, streets, roads are still going to be available to public use. So then Texas was annexed in 1845 and was the only state to retain its public lands. Well, that sounds like it might have some significance to rights of way, and it does to some extent, because now the state of Texas owns those public lands, and it can decide what to do with them, and that's what happened in 1858, in what is commonly called the Act of 1858, although it's more precisely the Chapter 61, page 91, of the general laws of the 7th legislature. And that's the law whereby cities were allowed to incorporate by election, much as they do now, at least general law cities. Back then, if you were a village or a town, and you had 300 free white inhabitants, they could petition for an election. And if that was approved, then they became a town. And if they got up to 1,500 inhabitants, they could become a city. Well, those distinctions are gone, but we still have the basic framework of incorporation. And part of the Act of 1858 was that the boards of aldermen of those newly created cities were responsible for streets and rights of way. And that's still what we've got today. Now, we're talking public rights of way, not private streets. And I'm going to mention county and state rights of way, but my focus is going to be on city streets. Well, first of all, how are they created? Different ways. Of course, it can be created by purchase, by deed, by easement, or by eminent domain. They can be created by adverse possession, prescription, or implied dedication. But the most common way, and the way I suspect all of you are familiar with, is by dedication on a plat. A landowner files a plat. Thereon he depicts, or she depicts, property that is dedicated to public use. And once that plat is approved, by the county and unincorporated areas, by city and corporate limits, or by one or both of them within the ETJ, assuming they're complying with Chapter 242 of the Local Government Code. Then you have an approved plat with dedicated property, particularly dedicated rights-of-way on it. So that means, hey, they're city streets, right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In 1966, the Texas Supreme Court ruled that the mere act of approving a plat doesn't mean that a city then becomes responsible for maintaining the public property on that is dedicated on that plat. And that is codified in section 212.011 of the Local Government Code. And it says that the approval of a plat is not considered an acceptance of any proposed dedication and does not impose on the municipality any duty regarding the maintenance or improvement of any dedicated parts until the appropriate municipal authorities make an actual appropriation of the dedicated parts by entry, use, or improvements.